You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It's curtains up on a very special episode of West of Broadway, a celebration of musical theater on the West Coast. I'm Will Armstrong.
And I'm Wendy Rosoff.
And we are here with I Am a Theater, and it's at the Los Angeles Theater Center.
Yes.
Here in downtown Los Angeles, and for the production of Found.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the show? What do you know?
I know so little about this, which is why I'm so excited. I only know that I have a bunch of friends in it, and that Hunter Bell, who wrote Title of Show and something else, what's the Start Here Now, whatever that show is, he's one of the co-writers on it. Is that correct?
Very good, very good.
And Kat Burns, who is an amazing choreographer.
From My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
And many other theater.
Emmy winner, yeah.
You know, just a few things. Yeah, she's the choreographer. And Story Pirates is involved with this, too, I just saw, which
exactly.
is so cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, so basically, I don't want to give too much away, but it's based on the magazine Found.
Oh, right.
Which is this group of friends found a bunch of, like, either notes or grocery lists or just, like, little, just pieces of paper where people have written things down, and they published it.
Yes, I heard about that, actually, a long time ago.
Yes, I think back in 2001 it started.
Yes.
I got to speak with some of the cast before, and we're going to talk to some more after. But
yay!
I know we always talk about how musical theater is thriving here in Los Angeles, but these people are on the ground floor, and it's just like, you can just see how special it is.
Is this the original production of it? Is this a premiere, or has it been mounted elsewhere?
It's been mounted in the past two times before, at in fringe festival kind of things.
Oh, okay.
And it keeps it, like, but this is very much constantly evolving. Like, these actors, they're getting new slides at the beginning of each day, and by the end of the day, it's rewritten. And so it's like they're really creating something, and they have their own stamp on it, as well as something that's been around and has won awards in the past. But it's just this really lovely story of friendship, and what the research I'm seeing what I'm gathering is how it's important just to keep your eyes open about what's going on in the world. That's what Found Magazine is.
I love that, and I'm so excited to see this tonight. A treat.
Yes, and so the theater is filling up right now.
I see that.
And we have press passes, and we have little names on our seats.
We are so fancy.
I can't even believe it. So we're going to go in, and we're gonna catch up during intermission.
Yes, we'll report back to you guys.
Super. All right, talk to you soon. So the star of the show is Jonah Platt,
mm-hmm.
and I actually got to sit down with him, and he was coming to the theater right before he got ready for the show, and he gave me a little bit of time, and I got to ask him a bunch of questions get to know him a little bit, and
great.
I would love to play that right now.
Let's do it.
Jonah Platt, welcome to West of Broadway.
Thank you.
I am super excited to be sitting down with you right before the show starting to talk about Found the Musical. Can you talk a little bit about the show and your character?
Sure. I'm going to go in reverse order, so
please.
I'll talk about my character first.
Love it.
So my character is Davey, who is based on the real Davey Rothbart,
right?
Who has been to see the show a couple times.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. It's been very
cool. He lives here
cool.
in L.A.
Oh, he lives in L.A. He actually did a Found show of his own after our show on Saturday night. He did a 20-minute set of him reading finds.
Incredible.
Which is awesome. He's doing that two more times.
Wow.
So I play Davey, who is this real guy who was inspired by these real notes and letters and flyers and just pieces of people's lives that they left strewn on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And the comedy and the feeling and the poignancy that these notes brought about in him led him to create this magazine called Found Magazine that is a collection of all these notes and letters. And it's our show is about Davey and his best friend Mikey and his friend Denise creating this magazine together and going on this journey and trying to do something they love with people that they love.
Incredible. And this production, I feel like when I was doing my research and I was learning about because I didn't know much about it at the beginning, but then I saw the creative team and the ensemble and the cast, and I was just like, holy cow, like, this is a magical group of people.
It is a really great group.
What's it been like putting this together?
It's been really unique. Mm-hmm. I mean, seeing the creative team was part of the reason why I was so excited to get involved in the first place.
Absolutely.
The nature of the show is very collaborative, just because you have all these different notes that come to life in the show. A lot of the content, the songs, and what I'll call like pop-outs are literally these real life notes themselves. And to bring those to life, our cast, the ensemble portion of the cast, there's six of them, have to play basically a dozen characters each. And to do those well, they have to, it has to come organically from within them. So that was such an organic process of them putting themselves into those parts. And then the quote unquote core four, who are like the people, which is Davey, Denise, Mikey, and Becca. We got to bring a lot of ourselves to this show too. And, you know, swapping different things in and out and trying scenes, and that doesn't work. What if we did this? What if we did that? Our director, Moritz, was so open to ideas and conversations, and it really was intensely collaborative, more so than any show I've ever been a part of.
So the musical's been around since like 2005, is that right?
In different iterations.
In iterations. Yeah. So that's great that it's still evolving and you can still put your stamp on it.
Very much so. I mean, when it started, it was really just a sketch show of the notes. It was like the notes as musical numbers, and then they got to do it at the Atlantic, and the Atlantic was like, okay, turn this into a book musical. So they sort of reverse engineered a story out of it with already having a bunch of these musical numbers.
Right.
And now this is sort of the first time since that that people have gone back in with Moritz is the first director who wasn't one of the writers to actually direct it. So an outside eye to really develop the material and try new stuff.
Incredible. You are bicoastal? You're New York and L.A.?
So I'm based in L.A. and my family is here, but I go where the work goes, and a lot of the time it's in New York.
You just recently made an announcement that you're heading back east.
Yes, I leave the day after we close.
Congratulations.
Thank you. To reprise a role that I played in the world premiere 2 years ago of this show called A Walk on the Moon, and now we're doing it, our East Coast premiere.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
Very, very cool. That's great. With Found the musical, when people come, enjoy the show, when they walk away, what do you hope they leave with? What's the takeaway that you hope people leave with?
Well, we've gotten to see it a little bit of what people are walking away with it. It's all you could hope for, which is people are incredibly entertained, which is sort of like the basic bar with this show, because it's so funny and these notes are so wild and crazy and the cast is so good. At baseline, you hope people are like, wow, that was a really fun, hilarious, entertaining show. But what they're also walking away with, which is like the most you can hope for, is people are sort of feeling touched that this story has a lot of heart. It speaks to a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. It speaks to people at different points in their life journey, people who are searching for something, people who have found something, people who haven't thought much about what it is they might be looking or not looking for. So it's sort of hitting all these different things, and I think people are really getting invested in it and coming away feeling really satisfied, which is really just a beautiful thing.
Nice. I feel like this is almost a dying art because of writing, and putting pen to paper is slowly slipping away. We're like, these cities are losing these little found notes that, because people leave their shopping list or their notes in a text.
Totally, and that's actually sort of a theme that's touched on, especially early on in the show, which sort of is a little bit of what leads Davey to start looking for these notes in the first place, is he wants to get off his freaking cell phone and be in the moment with people again and connect with people
that
and get off
great.
Of social media. And these real notes that he can hold in his hand really mean something to him.
Amazing. Well, I am seeing the show tonight, and
I'm excited for you to see it.
I can't wait, and I'm going to let you take off so you can get ready for your show.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Absolutely,
and
my pleasure.
Good luck with the run, and good luck with New York.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Okay, we are at intermission of Found.
I am having the best time ever.
The entire cast is incredible.
Oh my God.
And the use of the found notes and how they correspond with actually what the story's going, it is so clever and so wonderful.
This show is so well crafted.
It's brilliant. And I love how stripped down and raw the theater is, but then the use of the projections, like whenever they read a note, they project the note on the wall.
Yeah.
And
And the use of space too, and the way the cast is just hanging around on the outskirts and climbing up walls and popping up from behind the bar. It's so smart.
I feel like it's a modern day Tick Tick Boom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, definitely that just has that feel.
That feel like it's a voice of this current generation.
Yeah.
But and on a slightly different tangent, I just want to give you, as a audience goer, props for you have a sore throat and you got a lozenge and you waited. Okay, so one of my
are we gonna do a theater PSA right now?
One of my pet peeves is when people unwrap candies while the show is going
on. It's the worst.
During a quiet moment, you wait till a big number.
We were just talking about this for Margaritaville. Somebody took 22 and a half minutes unwrapping a lozenge.
During like a soliloquy.
Yeah, just the quietest moment of the show.
You wait for a rock song.
A big fat rock song, and then you you get that lozenge and you unwrap like a wildebeest and then you throw that thing in.
Yeah, it was so deft and yes.
I got
so
skills, well, man.
I was really proud of that.
Thanks so much.
I was just busting. Okay, and okay, so we are seated, I want to say on the stage.
Say it, because we are.
And I have all my recording equipment in between.
You're straddling that equipment.
And they were all dancing towards me, and I was like, I'm really eating into their dance space.
Yeah, one time they were like cameling towards you.
So yeah, I feel. But so and yeah, it's there's every seat gets a different vantage point because it's theater, like. Around, like
it's more than in the round. Yeah, it's four dimensional.
Yeah,
even
they're behind you. They're above you. They're
above. Yeah, it's great.
But yeah, no, so cool.
Unique.
Yeah,
different.
And the music's
smart.
Great.
It's catchy.
Mm-hmm. It's a lovely story. And I feel like it's such a great message about unplugging and being present and connecting with people.
And what weirdos everybody.
Weirdos
are. Oh my God, I love it. The cast. I mean, the cast are deliciously weirdo, but. These notes, because they're based on real notes. I mean, people are just amazing.
It's really incredible. I can't wait for Act 2.
More later, yes.
Bye.
Jordan Kai Burnett, welcome to West of Broadway.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited to be sitting here with you in the lobby. Say the name of the theater.
It's the Los Angeles Theater Center.
Okay.
In downtown Los Angeles.
Okay, great. So yeah. I'm so happy to be sitting here in the Los Angeles Theater.
See, it's hard to say.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
I am so happy to be sitting here with you in the lobby of the Los Angeles Theater Center.
There you go. We did it.
What's crazy is I used to live on 6th and Spring.
Oh, really?
Right here. Yeah. Like, 2009?
Yeah, it was a different time.
People were talking about moving down here, but
nobody
did.
Was doing it. Yeah, no, I think that once they built Grand Central Market, this whole place turned around.
Yeah.
I mean, not entirely. Like, it still feels like downtown LA. Like, you can't kid yourself. It's a good time, though. A lot of interesting characters.
And you live here in LA?
I don't, actually. I lived in LA for full-time, like, 6 years. I moved out here from New York. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of moved back to New York. And then the last year or so, I've been... living in Las Vegas, hosting a show called Magic Mike Live.
That is right. I read that. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I want to get into Found, but
yes.
I'm super curious about your career.
Yes.
I you're hilarious on social media.
Thank you so much.
Like the research I was doing, I was like, okay, this girl's really cool.
Yeah. You know, I like to think that I'm like half cool, but people tell me I'm cool all the time, so that makes me feel great.
Own it. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to just walk into it.
And I feel like we're very similar. I lived in New York for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a lot of time in Vegas.
Yeah.
I opened... the Palazzo with the Jersey Boys and...
Oh, we could talk all day. Oh, we have deep history. Okay.
And then I've lived out here in LA for a long time now.
Yeah.
And so your career... touch on Magic Mike real fast.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're the...
I'm the MC of Magic Mike Live, which is basically, yes, it is a strip show, but it also is it's a comedy show. It's a dance show. You know, the dancers have danced for Beyonce and Britney and the choreographers... have worked with Madonna and Janet Jackson and choreographed the Magic Mike movies, and Channing is still very much a part of it.
Amazing.
And so the whole thing is sort of, it kind of was my dream come true. Like,
sure.
Why don't you tell jokes for an hour and a half and watch boys take their shirts off? Like, yeah, why don't I? You know? Why don't I do that 10 shows a week, you know?
As an ensemble, like a chorus boy in New York, I remember being like, oh, okay, it's not just I have to dance. I have to have a gym membership and look like a stripper.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
And now strippers have to be dancers.
Oh,
like,
this show is so, Magic Mike specifically, it's not a strip show. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, they take their shirts off, but, you know, you got guys like singing, playing piano, playing the drums, dancing you've never seen before, and then they take their shirts off and you're like, what heaven is this? It's so good. And Vegas is really fun. Like, at first I was sort of scared because I'm like a fervent New Yorker who has lots of LA running through my blood now.
Great.
But So I was a little bit like, oh, Vegas. But once you sort of realize that the Strip is not Vegas, it's kind of terrific.
Yeah. No, you're... So... There's a balance of... there's desperate parts, and then there's completely acceptable parts that are totally wonderful.
And they're really wonderful. So I'm having a good time sort of being between New York and Vegas and LA right now.
Good for you. So how did Found find you?
Well, I was out in Los Angeles doing the encore production of Scissorhands, the musical, which is an adaptation of the movie that we had done last Christmas with my darling friend Bradley Bradwig, who created the show and asked me to come back out and do it again, which timed out really nicely because Magic Mike went on hiatus because we're moving theaters. So I came to LA and my manager said, oh, there's this musical happening and, you know, it seems cool and, you know, you're in LA, so go check it out. And I looked at a lot of the creative team who I had worked with, like, over different parts of my life, like 15 years ago in New York or 5 years ago in, like, insane theater in LA. And they're just, sometimes you walk into a room. Moritz, who's the director of Found, was pretty much one of the only people on the creative team I didn't know. But I walked in and I immediately was like, ah, you're my bud.
Awesome.
There was just, just made sense.
Well, that's the thing. Looking at the creative team, it's like,
nuts.
How could you not want to be a part
of this? Oh, that's right. I mean, it is, we are doing it in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles Theater is really terrific and really coming up in a special way. But there has been an incredibly New York vibe about this whole show. The way that we work, the large scale of the show that's being done in this small theater, all of it feels so much like the work I've done in New York. It has sort of that really exceptional New York heartbeat to it.
That is so, well, because the Found started off in Fringe.
I think it started at Williamstown. I could be totally wrong. What I do know is that it had a small run at the Atlantic and then in Philly.
Right.
And then this is sort of the third production that's happened. But we got really lucky, and we can talk about this later, but we got really lucky because the writers were so open to change, and Moritz is sort of this genius, like young genius, truly, truly. So as much as we didn't realize it was going to be a workshop, we were workshopping pages until the day before we had official opening. So the show has changed a lot from New York to Philly to now. And I think maybe that's a lot of what feels so New York about it. It's just like, you know, you walk into rehearsal and you have new pages at the top of the day and then new pages at the bottom of the day. And yeah, just like so fun to be doing that kind of work and see it change and grow. And the writers... Lee Overtree and Eli Bolin and Hunter Bell being so open to changes was just, it's awesome. You know, it's always such a pleasure to do that kind of work.
Incredible. This show opened on the 20th, which was just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
What have the audiences been like?
Oh, it's just, well, the opening night was such a trip because it was so many musical people. Just, you know, hearts full of people wanting to come in and be supportive. So opening was sort of this magical wild ride. And then the last three audiences since then have been, I mean, steadily very, very responsive, super engaged in the story and also delighted by the comedy.
Fantastic.
So hopefully that just keeps going. You know, like hopefully people just keep liking it. That's like the dream, you know?
Exactly. And so... in doing my research and seeing you on social media, I feel like the theater's done a really great job of really capturing the camaraderie of your ensemble. It just seems like a really fun group.
Oh, yeah. We're really into each other. Sometimes you do a show where you kind of come and go. You take a few people with you. But this show feels a little bit like that summer camp mentality where we've just spent like 2 months together building this incredible show, and now we just can't get enough of each other. Even last night, you know, we're in the middle of what went from tech week to previews to opening. We still had family dinner after the show last night because we all just wanted to like play games and be dumb together. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's really special.
That is, it shows online.
I love that.
And it made me even more excited to come see the show.
Oh yeah. We have a good time.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So Jordan Kybernet, I know where we can find you because I've stalked you, but can you talk about how people can track you?
Oh my gosh, you can find me so many places. I mean, not that many. You can find me on Instagram at JKAIB, and that's just like my normal Instagram.
Yeah, it's everything.
You can see a video of me spanking Channing Tatum, which is really fun. That seems to be the highlight these days.
I'm assuming it's intentional, but one of the reasons why I was like, I'm going to like this girl is... on your website where the bio goes, it's just like insert bio.
Oh, it says insert bio here. My friend who designed my website, who's an absolute angel, was on my ass about it for like long enough that then I think she was sort of like, if you want to have a bio there, like you'll figure it out. And I keep thinking, like, be an adult professional person. But then I keep not doing it. So here we are. You know, I'm glad you're entertained by it because it is very telling of exactly the kind of adult that I am. Oh, my God. But you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, which is the same thing, jkaib.com. And then also, if you want, I have a band in New York called Stop Thrust. We're sort of cool punk blues band. And you can find us at Stop Thrust on Instagram.
What part, where do you guys, I'm sure you perform all over, but where are you guys based?
Well, we're based out of Astoria, Queens. We met in a bar in Astoria, and then we play at Rockwood, we play at Pianos, we play all over the city, and hopefully sometime we'll play LA and Vegas, but
please.
I know, right? We gotta make that happen.
Well, I know you have a show to do.
I do. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. Come on, it was lovely.
I really appreciate it, and I can't wait to see you tonight.
Oh, I can't wait for you to see it.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Obsessed.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I loved it. So original.
Okay, and the takeaway is to hopefully to do what you love with people you love. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I mean, it's definitely something I can relate to, you know?
Oh, I think everybody can relate to it. And I love how there were all sorts of relationships weaving in and out, and they were so complicated, but the whole theme of it was just so pure and so simple and so just good storytelling.
Great storytelling. The staging, I feel like, in the second act,
delicious. Just
the whole Fosse cabaret thing.
That, you know what that was? It was it was an homage to that All That Jazz number.
Yeah, which you better be.
So brilliant.
Oh my gosh, it was.
And Parvation, that wig in the number where they were all wearing her hair.
The talent in the ensemble.
Yeah, so great.
Because sometimes it's just like three words that they say, and the way they say it.
Zingers. I just became like my Jewish grandma. Zingers.
It's incredible. Yeah. No. So Found opened on Thursday, February 20th, and it will continue to play until March 23rd.
And you should definitely go get tickets, everybody. To purchase tickets, call 323-380-8843 or go to www.iamatheatercompany. That's IAMATheater.com.
IAMA Theater Company is amazing. Apparently, it's a bunch of actors that really want to tell modern stories.
Yeah, and they're also nomadic, right? They do their shows at different spots every show.
So I definitely am a fan of this show, and I really want to see what else IAMA Theater has to offer because I'm super impressed.
What's next in store for this show?
I do not know, but I will find out.
Okay, we're going to find out.
Yes. Wendy, it has been a full, like, I went to bed last night. I woke up this morning thinking about Found.
So did I.
And then I rushed over here after a full day of work.
Yes.
And so yesterday I got to meet Jonah Platt and Jordan Kai Burnett and talk to both of them before the show.
Right, which I was not able to join you. I was bummed, but I did see them after the show.
And I'm so glad I got to see them after just to thank them for their performances because it was wonderful.
It was incredible. Yeah. I didn't attack him, but I did see Jonah in the parking lot and I rolled down that window and gave him a piece of my mind to tell him how amazing he was.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. But I was also so taken with how incredibly talented the entire ensemble was.
Yeah, well, the ensemble isn't an ensemble. There is no ensemble. There are a bunch of individuals on stage, like, living their best lives. It's so fun to see.
Well, and you, as a working actress, like, I've seen some of these people in the real world in their natural habitat with you before, and it's just like you must have been such a proud friend to see them just living their best life.
I was a proud friend, and we actually are lucky enough to have a friend here with us to chat all about the show, Parvesh Gina.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Welcome to Western Broadway.
Yeah, thank you for coming to our show last night.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy to have been able to see it. And since we were just talking about this, right before you came, we were kind of talking a little bit about the movement of the show. I loved it so much.
Yeah,
I love the choreography. But also, I'm curious to hear about the process, about the staging, and also about the movement, because I felt like, because I know so many of you in this show,
right,
and I've done shows with you, I kind of know a lot of signature moves.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some individual signature moves going on.
Well, we were, I mean, like, there's, and I get it, like how Will, you were saying, like how Wendy knows a lot of people. There's a lot of crossover in LA's theater community.
Yeah.
From improv, from sketch, from any of your acting schools.
Yep.
And let alone like the New Yorkers, the Chicagoans. So this show is really that amalgam of like a lot of John Rosenfeld Studios,
yeah,
a lot of JRS kids, some AMDA folk, mm-hmm, you know, like some teachers, friends of, people, yeah, who've spoken, a lot of improvisers, and then a lot of musical theater folk, like the purists, kind of like, when I think of like Jonah, I think of like, oh yeah, he's, yeah, LA, but like you think of him as New York, East Coast guy.
For sure.
And Mike Millen also. And then
who I don't know, but wow.
Mike has got that, who plays Mikey D, Mike's got that. And he's very young. I think he's like a baby.
Wow. Is he really?
Yeah. I think he's, I don't know how he, because everyone, I'm 40 now, so everyone is a baby to me.
Yeah.
But I just, he's got that quality that when you come on stage, especially in this show, which is very in the round, very, yeah, like, you know, show set on a bar,
mm-hmm,
you see the audience and they do kind of like smile and surrender when you see him.
Yeah. He's got that quality.
He does. Like
you, 100%, you're right.
He changes it every time, not in a bad way, just living his performance. Mm-hmm. And you just know, like, when he comes on, even he was sick as a dog opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He missed Saturday. He missed Saturday's show. I missed Friday's show because of my ankle. I
saw that you were wearing a brace, actually.
Yeah. Wow. I did
when
wear
you
a
were,
brace.
When you were doing your Fosse number?
It's Jonah's wife's brace from when she did Grease Live. So when Jonah told me, like, my wife wore this with a broken or twisted ankle during Grease Live. So I was like, oh, shit, then I have no excuse not to not go on and perform.
What's the cover and swing situation going on for you guys?
We've got the great thing, and I'm sure you guys have, like, now hearing about this too. Like, we in LA need the understudy and swing sometimes more so than anything else.
Yep.
It's why some people who work in, you know, we all work in everything in this town, like New York, but like here, there tends to be a priority to your TV film work.
Yeah.
Especially when your agents who don't get it. New York agents get it. LA agents,
not so much.
So as long as they know, like, no, I'm free and clear for everything. So we've got talented understudies. Andy Arena, who's a friend, is my understudy as well as Mike Millen. Mm-hmm. So he went on twice. He did both of his tracks.
Oh, good
this
for
weekend.
Him. How he, fun.
Literally my person number four track and then Mikey D's.
Yeah.
And he killed.
So good.
He's great. I mean, because like that's the great thing. We do have so much talent here in this town.
So then is there another swing that does Tom and Ryan's track?
And
then somebody separate for Jonah?
Exactly.
Or is there, okay.
Three men.
That's so luxurious, actually.
Very. Three men, three women.
So something came to my mind when I was watching the show, because how you use the notes in the show and how you project them onto the wall.
Right.
When you were given those notes, were you given direction or did you find those moments? Because just to read them, it doesn't mean anything, but when you put the emotion or your own take on it, mm-hmm, they come to life. How did that happen? How did each one happen? And do they change between understudies and...
Yeah, I think like anyone is going to interpret it. Like I can tell you a little bit, just basic acting, I honestly think, to go like that actor nerd, I really think of folio technique.
Okay.
I think of like Shakespeare. I think of like you look at the original work, the way someone wrote something, their misspelling, their lack of grammar,
mm-hmm,
their lack of, and their overuse of syntax. You know, when someone overuses a comma and semicolon,
it just exclamation
lends itself to maybe someone who's persnickety. Like if they're like, oh, I'm going to be very smart and use overindulge, you know, like, mm-hmm, so like versus something, a find written in crayon with the backward A's, you already know age, you know, education.
Wow.
So not to nerd out like that, but literally, you just look at all that. Something typed on, you know, is like stenograph type, old school 1950s typewriter is a lot different than like a Times New Roman or Helvetica or like Comic Sans. Of like Comic Sans.
Totally.
From like and then we'd be like, oh, this is late 90s.
Yeah.
Early 2000s.
Yeah,
you'd
exactly.
You'd know like the font kind of history. So that's where I always start with. And like a couple times we didn't have the original finds. There was a projectionist in New York at the Atlantic. When they did it, they've also done a production of this in Philly. Those have been the two main Equity show productions. This is the third. So they've had the world premiere at the Atlantic, then a further East Coast premiere, regional premiere, and then this is the West Coast premiere. So I think it just changes from person to person. My involvement with the production is my ex, Gregory Bonsignore, mm-hmm, is good friends with Hunter Bell.
Oh, okay.
Hunter, one of the co-writers, right. Title of show, Tony nominee, and performer. We had seen Silence the Musical on a trip to New York before it even came to now, which is, I guess, the Hayworth is now the Dynasty Typewriter, but they did a West Coast premiere. So he's a friend, and I think he literally, they needed, you know, everyone else is a, and this is just being legit, is a better, more talented vocally singer than I am. But what everyone brings is you're still actor leading first, especially the improv and sketch background to play 10 different characters at once. So Hunter, I was asleep. Hunter asked Gregory, would Parvesh do a workshop at New York Stage and Film at Vassar? And Gregory just tells me the story. He's like, looked at me asleep and was like, yeah, he will. So I woke up with a job for a week.
Oh, that's great.
Amazing.
So we did it at New York Stage and Film. There were Steve Martin and Edie Raquel were working on Bright Star that same weekend. Uh-huh. Following weekend, they were doing Hamilton Mixtape, that little show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope it has legs.
Yeah. One day it might go. What a group of schlumps you were surrounded by. Right?
And so it was just so much fun. And we just got to collaborate. Friends like Christina Anthony, who's on Mixed Dish, Danny Franzese, Mean Girls, everything, you know, they were in it. So that's when we actually met and became friends, because we'd only rehearse for like 5-7 hours on that workshop's contract.
Yeah.
And then we'd just hang out in Poughkeepsie for hours.
Right.
You know?
So what year was that?
2013.
Oh, okay. So this
so
is
7
yeah.
years.
Right.
They did it at the Atlantic. We did the Backer workshops and everything. Lee Overtree, the Story Pirates artistic director, is the other co-writer, and he was the director at that time.
So it has
and then
that.
Eli Bolin, who is co-op, and like what's his show with John Mulaney on Netflix, Sack Lunch.
Oh my gosh,
no. Eli.
I'm obsessed with that show.
Yeah,
that's Eli.
Obsessed.
And Eli's amazing. They're Lee are Northwestern kids, so they've very collaborative. So it's been great. But then when they were doing it at the Atlantic, I couldn't do it because TV money called. So I did A to Z on NBC. And then my best friend, like brother from Chicago, who we still do like Sketchfest, he came to opening night, Danny Pudi from Community, did my track. So he's, and even Lee, I remember saying like, we're not getting him just because he's Indian. There's not an Indian American
track. The Indian track.
It's just that we know you guys are friends. And he's, and so his interpretation of this track totally different.
Wow.
It's so, you know, imagine like him doing like the To Whom It May Concern.
Yeah.
It was just, it was like almost hipster cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of, but like just different. Like Danny does a lot of like looks with his eyes and I do mine like more squinty. So it's just different, and it didn't matter because best joke get it. And I just know that if someone else, one of my like quick snippet song in the show was Denise that Jordan was singing until the day before opening, and then they cut it from her and gave it to me as a better, it just said like it's a better flow. So how that rock star Broadway belter sings is a lot different than character actor parts.
Right,
So it just, but it all worked. I felt like she did all the homework for me.
Right.
How to vocally track it.
Yeah.
And then I just put my B. Arthur like speak singing.
Match. Yeah.
You know, back phrasing. After it.
Ridiculous.
It was fun. But so, that's like a lot of my history with it. Like it's been, and so when Ayema, who are, again, so much crossover, JRS, improv community, NYU, Chicago kids, like they're another one of like, we all have like artistic homes and families here.
So is this your first Ayema production?
First full production, but I don't know how many cabarets, 24-hour project, the children reading, you know, the when you go read out loud the elementary school kids plays.
Oh yeah, the story, the great big storytelling.
Everything,
bonanza.
I think
yeah,
a lot
I've done
town.
A few of those. Yeah, so great.
So they are very involved in the community, and so I just always figured like, oh, I'm just a friend of Ayema.
Yeah.
And when Stephanie Black, one of the artistic directors, who's a belter herself, was like, I want this show. I was like, all right, I know the producers, Victoria Lang, Jamie Salka from Story Pirates.
Oh, so you were part of the process of bringing
not at all. Like I would just like, let me know if I can do anything.
Great,
You do stay in touch with producer
of
friends.
Course.
And then, of course, Eva Price, who just won the Tony for Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Revival.
Right.
They all were in town.
How
Victoria
great.
Was there still when you were here. So they see this as this might be a version of it versus the big kind of proscenium.
Yeah.
Kind of like Atlantic Box, which is also not a big theater.
Right.
But it's really fun doing this immersive vibe.
I love how immersive it is and the way it's done.
Yeah.
Everything about it felt, you know, sometimes with immersive theater, it feels like it's immersive to be immersive.
Right.
And you're like,
right.
But this one was so organic. The staging was super smart. And I loved watching everybody actually, you know, I being a theater nerd, just love watching everybody leave the stage.
Yeah, the process.
And have the process. Totally. And coming back on and how everything was working and just the mechanics of it. I get up on mechanics and transitions.
You're absolutely
I'm
right.
So into it.
We can see a performance anytime. We could, yeah. When they make a movie version of this, we won't get to see any of the wires and everything.
Right.
And Tony Kushner always said, I think like in his prologue to Angels in America, when he's describing it, you know, it's like 20 pages right there.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, no, when the angel comes, I want to see the stagehand. I want to see the rope, the wire, whatever you're using. It's okay. This is theater. This is not, I don't want it to be like the magic special effects. You should see the rope. Mm-hmm. If it gets stuck, that's okay. This is real life. So like when we come off stage, changing from one quick change to another, you should see us. They're not like, oh my God, they're seeing me. No, like I'm not.
It's part of the storytelling, really.
Totally. Yeah, not taking focus, but it's where we're going to go.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I just keep thinking about last night and the musical production numbers that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then went back into nothing. Like, but they were so unexpectedly
you
fantastic.
And that Fosse number. Well, first of all, I talked to you about this last night, but you and that Jordan wig.
Oh, that's
Jesus.
Fun.
And then that Fosse number was a real highlight.
So there's one point where all of the ensemble members become versions of the Jordan role.
Yeah, we do our Jordan Kai Burnett impression.
Oh,
exactly.
So
and
good.
It is hilarious.
Yeah.
And then right after, and then in another point, out of nowhere, there's this found letter that is interpreted into a big Fosse number, which is just beautiful. It was really, really, I laughed through the whole thing.
It was so reminiscent of that number and All That Jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even so Ryan good. Garcia looks like Fosse a bit, you know,
he's
got
that
beard
vibe.
And that body.
Yeah.
And, but then, I mean, you have like, what I love about Kat Burns, who is our choreographer and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, but you know, she's a stage gal too.
Yeah.
Everything led, she and Moritz are, you know, hand to God director. I told him I saw Hand to God on Broadway and I get admonished for laughing sometimes. I've been yelled at in Avenue Q. And I remember Hand to God
what
was
What do you mean yelled at?
Someone turns around in the front saying like, you're too loud.
Oh.
It's too loud. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm laughing. Yeah, Avenue
I'm
Q.
I'm the same.
And I'm like, too bad.
You are a vocal theater goer, which I actually really love.
You have to be.
My laugh is like a gunshot though. It's like.
Yeah, but last night when something happened, you were like, oh, there was like a kiss or something.
Yeah,
and he
literally
was like, oh, and I was like, oh my God, he's so into it.
But it's love
so
as you should
anyway,
be.
Yeah.
It's visceral.
Yeah,
we cannot like keep quiet.
Yeah.
You know? But Moritz von Stuppnagel.
That's the best name ever.
German-American.
Yeah.
He was just collaborative. He had this phrase that he would always yell like in the middle of stuff. It was always, you'd be like, what are we doing? What show are we making? So he was just, you know, when you lead with that energy.
Yeah.
He and Kat worked well because she leads with story and funny.
Mm-hmm.
Then the choreo.
Yeah.
I learned that word because, you know, they just like, well, do you want some choreo on it? I'd be like, yeah, actually.
I want some choreo.
And then she'd be like,
side of choreo.
And then she'd be like, no, you don't need it. Just do your thing.
Yeah.
Like she'd be like, end here, start there. She'd leave Mike Millen a lot alone, I think. But in the Fosse number, we craved it.
Yeah.
We were like, no, choreograph it, please. We can do it. And then you have people of all body types. Me,
which was so fun
Desi,
to watch.
Dylan, you know,
what a
Dennis
talent.
Dylan.
She's
amazing.
Amazing.
But we are not all 5'10", you know, sticks.
Right.
And so I love the fact that you pick the hot guy, me and Desi, to do the Fosse number with Zara. And it's just... Why not?
It was magical.
Is that fun? And she,
I love
Desi's like dance. We call her Fosse dance captain. You know, because she's the one.
Great.
She literally, I have to like always check her. And like, you know, when we do that one slap up, when I know I'm with her, then I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she is the dance captain for that.
Wow. As she should be.
Why not? Right. It's just, I love seeing real people move and dance.
Yeah.
Sing. And the immersive part you talk about, like, we have like a base costume, but like that's just part and parcel. Like I picked like kind of like a preppy persnickety guy to even be. it's nothing. It's just like a quick little glimpse, because then we're going to jump into 20 different things.
Right. I'm glad that you said that about going back to the choreography, because that was exactly what my instincts were telling me, you know, with the way she chose to, where she put in set choreo, and where it was like, you need to do you here, and here's the beginning and here's the end. Like, just do it.
And something that she
felt
be like,
so good as an audience member to watch. I can't tell you how satisfying that is.
I'm so glad, because it's a mix. There's some hard ass. I've got scraped knees, twisted my ankle a little bit.
Oh, you guys are not, you're all over the place.
Yeah. And that's a small, and then you just have to know, like, okay, you check a bit, like, okay, that guy has beer bottles on the table.
Yep.
So we're not going to paddle turn with arms out. It'll just be above the head, like Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that guy has a suitcase in the front row on the stage.
Well, Davy Rothbart brings his suitcase. You know that suitcase that Jonah, playing Davy, always walks around with the finds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Davey has a literal suitcase that he walks around, and he came to every show opening. He's even doing a few. I forget what dates. He did one this past opening weekend where he literally legit brings out the finds and does kind of exactly what Davey does at the what Jonah as a character Davey does at the beginning of the show. That is what Davey has done for years.
Yeah.
He actually brought Franzese, Christina, and I to like a show at someone's house once, just reading finds. He's got this devoted following to this found zine.
Well, it is fascinating.
It is. He's been on all these years. Like, now he's an NPR This American Life contributor, but he's been on Letterman, Tyra Show.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. I was completely captivated by it.
It's such
not
a simple,
just,
like, he tapped into something that he gave voice to so many people who will never.
Well, it's so interesting because it clearly the story is older than social media and people being lost in their phone, but you guys worked that in. You worked the narrative into how I imagine that founds are fewer and farther between because they're more digital now.
I agree, and I
think
that
we also people aren't looking around for that. Like, you know, our eyes are glued
to our
devices. So do we see everything now?
Post-its still. I feel like you still get a lot of post-its.
Yeah,
but I even have a post-it app though.
Right.
I do feel like digital trash and finds is becoming a thing though too. Have you ever gotten like a wrong email? Forget about like a wrong note on your thing. Like if your email address is just like one letter, one number away from someone, you get wrong emails.
I'm not going to give any of the details of this away, but when we were in Edinburgh this summer, which Ryan,
30-minute musical.
I replaced Ryan's track, so I did all of those tracks. No. I was Dr. Ian Malcolm and Viper, and I mean, it was ridiculous.
What is 30-minute musical?
It is just that. They're parodies of 80s movies made into 30-minute musicals, and they're just quick and dirty and fun and ridiculous.
Tom DeTrinis from our cast is one of the
producers and directors. He does it all. He's so talented.
He left our show to go open Drew Droege's off-Broadway play.
Directing it. Yeah, he does everything.
Yeah.
His delivery, like, everything that he says is funny and nuanced and has layers. Like, what a talent.
Unapologetic, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. He's such a talent.
It's so fun to do Pie Shop with him because
you
got the blonde.
Oh, so
you got
fun.
The bald gay. You got the Indian gay.
So good.
And then we're the backup dancers.
We didn't even ever talk about the kitty situation with the
cats. Furry. Cats?
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Unbelievable.
So the,
it's a real
so note. Those listening, the cats are cats. Production number, like everyone becomes cats for a moment because of the. Can you explain
it's
what the note is?
It's just a note that opens Act Two, and it's just a lovely. You just think it's some kid, or maybe old woman who wrote this note about cats are cats, lions are cats, tigers too. Cats are cats. They are usually orange.
Yeah,
that's it.
You know, one of the things.
A song.
Yeah, that, now that I'm thinking about it, like one of the things that was on my mind while I was watching is like, this is like you're either 5 years old in the basement with your imagination unleashed,
right?
You know, or you're on a trip, like you're tripping and you're gonna do a production number. And that's what was so fun about it, was just like unhinged. It was so great.
I think it's a lot of 80s 90s kids will like it because they'll remember like, oh my God, I used to draw with crayon and paper and pen.
It's such a love letter to that time period, right. I think.
I thought the first act, at the end of first act when the intermission happened, I thought I understood the show and I understood the flow. The second act was such a surprise because of the bigger production numbers, and then the scene that you guys, the death scene that you do, like for what happened in January.
Yeah, at the giant, it's the giant Tremaine number.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
That hasn't really changed much. It's just, that's been the same since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Because Christina Anthony was the original teacher. Now Desi's doing it in this mm-hmm. production. And so we would, good. No, I have a video of us like just hanging out. I think we're probably like have had some Jack Daniels or wine.
Okay.
And we're like, let's workshop it. And so we literally, because we discovered it's not the kid who interrupts, it's the teacher
yeah.
who now has become more of a disruption. And that just is just joy to me.
Yeah.
That you think it's like, oh, the kids weren't allowed back or they need to have a signed permission slip because they were bad. Mm-hmm. And then you find out it's the teacher. That, even when we did it at Vassar at New York Stage and Film, Lee made us memorize that one.
Yeah.
And we did that on, you know, everything else was like just, you know, scripts and music stands. But we actually have done that. So that's the only, I remember that's the piece that I'll always, and I've always been the doctor.
And I just love when you lose it.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
It's fun because again, and it's also, like you said, it's immersive in a different way.
You totally. Yeah. It's very unique. The show is really unique. I loved it.
And then Eli, what you said about like how you've talked about some of the like we satirize, you know, a lot of the music.
Yeah.
Eli's amazing with just knowing what. He's like, no, that should be a bossa nova. Mm-hmm. No, that's a Foss number. I don't know.
There were so many different styles. What was a disco? There was like a heavy disco number.
I don't remember.
Gosh, it'll come to me.
But they anyway, just, I mean,
so
like,
yeah,
the, one song was like a robot. Like it was a very like Mr. Roboto
mm-hmm.
number yep. that they cut. Like they've had so many.
I love it.
And then you have something that I love is I think one of the best. I want, speaking of musical improv, because mm-hmm. that's
yeah.
Wendy and I spent years doing that.
Yeah,
it's the best. I want song for any protagonist. And it's so set up so simply. Like when we break it down, it's like, oh my God, paint by numbers. But then when you see it, it's just heaven. What do you want to do? I want to do something that I love and do it with people that I love. That's all yep. I want to do. Done. That's where he goes.
Yep.
That's
which was so meta because in a way you guys all love each other in the cast and you're doing a show about wanting to do something. Like it was just like, it can go on and on and
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you can't not enjoy doing this show.
Yeah.
You just can't. Friends who have come, like we were talking earlier, I think off record about another friend who's in the world, Stephen Guarino, who's
mm-hmm.
the CBS Diversity Showcase director, and he's friends with everybody, improviser himself, and he was like, I wanted to be up there.
Yeah, this show like, made me want to be up there too.
I get it.
Yeah,
and they're like
it's
everyone
fun.
Like looks like, and he was
it's
like, I could maybe do Tom's or your track.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
I'm pushing mine to be the old man track. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
the guy who's Dr. Dillamond and
yeah,
Wicked.
Yeah.
Timothy Britton Parker. I remember him because he was in Rent.
Oh.
He was good.
Thank you. And so I remember thinking like, oh, he can always be the old man
track. Yeah, I love that.
How long is Found playing?
We're playing until March 23rd. There is talk of extension already because we are selling out.
Oh, good.
We already got emails even today. Like, I told my friend, I bought a couple of tickets just in case. You know, like, have you done that? Like, I bought a few of the...
Yeah.
The Gold Star tickets because I'm like, oh, I just want to be like my agent last weekend. Hey, do you have a ticket?
Right.
Interesting because Jonah has a hard out, though.
He does. Jonah's going off to Broadway to do
Walk on the Moon.
Walk on the Moon. Yes. Thank you. Ooh. I always want to say A Walk to Remember. I'm like, are you Shane West? He's like, wrong movie. This is the Diane Lane one, I think, or something.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice. It's like a 1969 love story.
Ooh.
He was telling us about it. I'm like, bravo. Good for him. And we're like, how lucky he gets to go from this.
Right.
And the family, they're off to New York. But,
fantastic.
Brilliant.
But they are still talking about it because we're here and it is that it's fun. I get it. Like, I would love nothing more than to go from our current four show a week schedule to impossible six or eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is such a good time.
Yeah. And then I don't have to go to the gym during those days.
There you go. Yeah. You guys are getting a workout for sure.
Oh my God. We don't leave the stage, Jack. So like, it's just, you have to know your track and you have to plan your pee break.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right? That's
very
a legit
important.
Thing.
Like, or put on your Depends.
Well, now I've always wondered about like, okay, maybe I'll have that water bottle in the quick change.
Maybe you will.
Serious. What do you do? You cannot
leave. You just do what you have to do.
We don't even have late seating.
You don't.
No,
that's right.
They're very specific about it. And even I'm like, come on, all
that.
My Indian family are going to be coming in late.
Nope.
And so
no, they're not.
But now they're even hip to it. Like, I can't even tell them, like, they'll be like, because now they know, they're like, why? what? No, this play doesn't begin at 7:48. You know, like if you try to give them like the 10, 12 minutes,
yeah.
They'll be like, no, they know now.
That's hilarious.
They totally know.
Funny. And so how can our listeners keep up with you?
Oh, I'm just on Instagram at Parvy. It's like P-A-R-V-E-Y. And then Twitter is at Parvesh. Twitter is definitely where I go political and I'm angry. So this is my my George Conway moment.
Yeah.
So
you
can have sex with Kellyanne at home, I guess.
Ooh, okay.
And then Instagram is just like dog photos and videos.
Perfect.
But don't you feel like we have to even talk about a show about like talking about social media and, mm-hmm. and connection. I have had to compartmentalize my social
100%.
Media. 100%.
Yeah.
Right? I could imagine like there's maybe I'd even... If we still had like MySpace or Facebook, I think I would have Facebook. I stopped.
Okay. Yeah.
Just because right now I'm just taking a break.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because of Russia and Cambridge Analytica. Mm-hmm. Just like, why not? Hold off here.
Yeah.
But Twitter, I'm like, no. I even say like Twitter is political and me mad. Don't check in on me if
mad
I've had
Parvy.
My meds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have a fake name and a fake picture.
You do?
For your Twitter anger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Because I.
No. As you go on.
Sometimes I need to set people straight.
Yeah, well.
And I can't do it with this big smiley face and be like, hey.
No, but you're right. And I even like, you know how Mitt Romney had a fake one for a moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't, like, what am I going to do? Like, hey. Short, gay, character actor, Indian-American from Chicago, writing anonymously.
No, you're owning it.
Yeah, why not?
I appreciate that.
But I do, Instagram has become, I think, a little bit more one-use tool, like joy.
Joy.
Fun, right? Mm-hmm. Like everyone uses everything. People might be flippant. Maybe their Twitter is like candy and bubbles and their Instagram is political. Well, but I feel like it lends itself more to...
The I Am A Theater Instagram is hot. I love it. They do a great job.
They are... This company, what I do love about I Am is that they have the mix. So many NYU kids founded it, but they're all out here.
Mm-hmm.
And they all work in Shondaland shows. So they have that connection. But they're savvy.
Yeah.
They're very good about all the press, PR stuff. Like the interviews, video stuff that they're releasing.
Mm-hmm.
Still, we've done for a bit. And that's not even giving anything behind the curtain. It's just like smart to do it. Like when we were not... If they had done it this week of opening, we'd been like, please leave us alone. We are working. The fact that they did it so early is actually a smart move for any company. Get your interviews, get all that press.
Early, before everybody's,
before anyone's memorized. And I also love, we have a WhatsApp group among the cast.
Mm.
And I do this now kind of with like a lot of my shows because like eventually it's great to know like for the media, be like, oh my God, traffic today or what was wrong with the audience? You know, like any just kind of in chat, in cast chat. And then once the show's over, it'll be like that thing of like, hey, come see my next show.
Exactly. You guys will.
It becomes, you know, we all have these
community.
Little families. We move on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. And thank you for your love and support of the show. But
I'm
it's got that vibe, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's a goodie.
All
it's
ages,
special.
But definitely
yeah.
not like, I would say 15, 14 and under. It's a little.
Yeah.
It's just language.
Right? It's language. And it's also got, you know, there's definitely kind of like some insider baseball humor. It's
totally.
Just kind of like you need a little bit of life experience to get some stuff.
Right.
But still enjoyable. And those production numbers are a blast.
Did you see that elderly woman in the wheelchair?
I did. She was having a great time.
Oh my gosh.
She was living her best life.
We were just singing. Like Sheila actually just texted in our group saying like, does anyone know who she is? Because she's been thinking about her all day. I'm like,
yeah.
We like waved at her like when
and
we
And you know what else? That would probably make her day. I've done that so many times when I've been in a cast and we were backstage talking about an audience member. And like just to know that the cast was talking about her would probably just make her life complete.
Yeah.
You know what
like,
I mean?
You do curious. Because like I'm like when you see that sometimes like a young person, maybe like a boring play or like an older person like, oh gosh, this is like this is going to be a lot of like, you know, hip grinding.
Yeah.
And they just love it. It always just blows my expectation.
Yeah, it's so great.
Well, Parvesh Chinna, thank you so much for joining us here on
Will.
West of Broadway.
Thanks, Wendy.
Special
thanks
to Jordan Kai Burnett and Jonah Platt as well for their taking time before the show to talk with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We encourage all of our listeners to check out the Broadway Podcast Network and all of their fine programming that West of Broadway is a part of. And thank you, Broadway World, for always streaming our shows as well.
We love you.
We really, really do. If you want to keep up with me, I'm Will Armstrong PR on Instagram and other social media platforms.
And I'm Wendy Rosoff, Wendy_Rosoff on Instagram.
Super. And remember, if you're ever looking for us, you can find us
just west of Broadway.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.